buy a pint, mate.
Hey, very kind of you, mate.
He's bad.
Sorry, mate. He's an evil dictator, but I'm hopelessly addicted to his fine ale.
I'll be on fire.
I heard that. You're bad till you're 25.
Nice to see you teasing the new generation of drinkers.
I don't need to serve underage kids. Not as long as your liver holds out.
I envy the young Jack. Think of his virgin palate aching for the billions of subtle distinctions of taste in fermented malt flavoured by hops. Imagine the thrill of his first pint of warm bitter or ashy lager. His first mild, his first stout, his experimental years with frothy home brews and eccentric wedges of lime. The boy has so much to look forward to.
Do you remember your first pint?
Oh, a man's first time is always special.
My dad used to let me have a swig out of his pint.
Oh.
Glass was like as big as a bucket.
Aye.
I needed two hands just to hold it. Tasted disgusting. Who'd have thought I'd make it my career?
For me, it were love at first sip. As soon as the malty brown milk massaged my mouth, I knew I were embarking on a lifelong relationship.
If I could, I'd marry beer.
A marriage made in heaven.
Wouldn't it be great if you could marry things as well as people?
Ooh, aye.
Marriage is a lifelong commitment to a single person, a public declaration of love.
We're committed to beer. We love beer.
What if you can marry more than one thing?
Ooh, hey, careful now, Jack. You're talking polygamy.
I'd marry me pipe.
Ooh.
And me fishing rod. And potatoes.
I'd marry chips, and I'd have the occasional fling with dauphinoise.
I'd marry ham sandwiches and grass and the river and fish and scotch and me car.
I'd marry this stool I'm sitting on and curries. And contents of my trousers.
There's no need to be smutty.
Oh, I come off it. Everybody marry the contents of the trousers.
Oh, you're just being silly now.
Oh, aye. And marry to your pipe ain't silly.
All right. We're limited to beer. You can only marry beer.
Well, fill that up then. I'm going a-courting.
Oh, my. I'm sorry.
Dad, come in.
You're in the bath.
It's okay.
But you're naked.
Well, I find it easier to wash this way.
Give me a shower when you're finished.
Dad, you've seen it all before.
Not like it is now.
Well, there must be something seriously wrong with our relationship if you can't bear to see me naked.
There's nothing wrong with our relationship. Trust me, this is normal. When a man unexpectedly sees a naked woman, the blood drains from his head. He blushes, loses the ability to form sentences, and eventually faints. That's normal.
Come on, we've hardly had the chance for a decent chat since I came home. Don't think of me as a naked woman. Think of me as your daughter.
Sorry, that only makes it worse.
Dad, look at me.
No, don't stand up.
Is there something wrong with my body? I mean, am I hideous? Am I grotesque?
No, you're fine. You're lovely.
You're not looking.
Yes, I am. And those tiles definitely need re-grouting.
Dad.
Now, look, just sit down. You look nice in the bubbles.
I don't see what the problem is. You must have seen me naked a million times.
There is a big difference between changing a baby's nappy and being faced with a woman in her prime in the bath.
Dad, I'm hurt. Have we drifted so far apart that we're embarrassed by a bit of nakedness?
No, we haven't drifted. There has been no drifting. We can talk. We can talk till the cows come home. But let's do it when we're both fully dressed and in any other room than the bathroom.
Dad? Dad? You're still embarrassed, aren't you?
Yes.
Don't worry, I'm fully dressed now. I've covered my nakedness so that I'm acceptable in your eyes.
And I appreciate that.
I'm having cornflakes. Do you want some?
That's my bowl.
Which bowl?
The bowl you're using.
Well, this one.
I always have that bowl. Every morning I have Rice Krispies in that bowl.
Oh, okay, I didn't know.
You get used to certain routines when you're living on your own.
Absolutely. Routines are very important. They keep us rooted. That's why I've come home. To get some routine, to get some structure back into my life.
Can I have my bowl back then?
Yes, of course. I'll tip my cornflakes into this one. There you go. Do you want me to pour out your Rice Krispies?
No, thanks. My bowl's got cornflake dust in it.
Cornflake dust?
If I use it now, the Rice Krispies will have a faint taste of cornflakes to them.
Okay, no problem. See, I'll wash your bowl. I will scrub your favourite bowl in boiling hot water to remove every trace of cornflake dust so that it won't infect your Rice Krispies. Then I'll try it so that you can enjoy the unique pleasure of this special bowl. There you go.
Thank you.
Now I'll pour you out some Rice Krispies.
Not yet.
Why not?
The bowl's warm now. It'll warm up the milk. I like the milk cold.
I'm not doing very well here, am I?
Oh, it doesn't matter.
No, it does. Look at us. We're like strangers. You can't bear to see me naked. I don't know what you like for breakfast. You don't know what I like.
Filter coffee, cornflakes, toast, wholemeal bread, slightly burnt, but only on one side, unsalted butter and thick-cut marmalade.
Oh, well, now I really feel terrible.
Why?
Because you know exactly what I like, and I can't even keep your favourite bowl at the right temperature.
It's just habit. You're my daughter. I'm used to looking after you.
I know. But we're both adults now. Our relationship should be evolving. I don't want you to look at me as a little baby girl anymore.
Does that mean I don't have to watch you having a bath?
I suppose not.
Oh, good. Best news I've had all morning. Now, pass the Rice Krispies.
There's nothing wrong with my body, though, is there? I mean, from a male point of view.
Nicola, please don't ask me questions like that. I'm your dad. I don't have a male point of view.
Were there bubbles?
Oh, yes. There were bubbles.
Copious bubbles?
I wouldn't say copious.
Fading bubbles. A smattering of frothy patches, interspersed with little clear puddles of water.
I suppose. I was trying not to look.
I was just trying to get a mental picture.
Wait a minute. That's my naked daughter you're trying to get a mental picture of.
Only so as I can empathise with your predicament.
Well, just make sure you concentrate on my predicament.
So, you were in the bathroom. She were in the bath. Froth was ebbing and bobbing.
Everything was ebbing and bobbing.
And you were trying not to look.
That's right.
But you did look.
Well, you can't not look, can you?
Oh, no, you have to look.
I didn't want to look. But she wanted me to look.
She wanted you to look?
She stood up and demanded a look.
Oh.
Oh! Andy, are you all right, mate?
I went a bit light-headed, that's all.
Is something wrong with that stool?
Oh, no. I was visualising, you know, in bath, to empathise with bubbles. And she stands up. Ooh. Must be fresh air.
You look a bit pale.
Just a bit dizzy, you know, I'm fine. I was trying to feel your sense of shock, like, you know, when she stood up. I'm still here for you, Jack, so, you know. So you say she stood up?
Oh, she wanted me to look at her.
Must have been awful for you. Hey, still, at least you didn't catch Mrs. D at bath.
Thankful for small mercies.
What would you have done?
I'd have looked.
Me too.
I have got you doing the washing up, then.
I don't mind. How's Stan today, Mrs. D?
Knocking on death's door.
Oh, dear.
I wish they'd let him in. I think he must have lost his key.
Now, you don't really think that.
That man is a millstone round my neck. He never goes out. He just sits round the house in his gym jams, making it look untidy. I tried covering him with a dust sheet, but he keeps pulling it off.
Mrs. Drummond.
You don't understand. The doctors gave him 6 months to live.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Sorry, nothing. That was 2.5 years ago. I don't know what he's waiting for. He's past his sell-by date. His number's being called, but he won't go.
It must be terribly difficult having to care for a sick husband. And if it gives you some form of release to rail against the cruel injustice while you're here, then so be it.
Oh, that reminds me. I've got to go and scrub down the urinals. Mind you, be careful with that bowl. That's Jack's favourite.
I know that, thank you. I know which bowl is my dad's favourite.
Really? So you know which is his favourite mug?
This one.
Very good. And his favourite spoon?
This one.
You know your dad, all right.
I told you.
Except he doesn't have a favourite spoon.
Yeah, I knew that, thank you. I was having a joke with you. I hope your husband lives forever. Mind you, be careful with that bowl. What's Jack's favourite? Oh, my God! No! Oh, the bowl! The bowl!
Yes, sir.
2 pints of lager and a vodka and orange, please.
Enjoy your fishing trip, Dad.
We didn't catch anything.
Oh, I had a pleasant morning.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I went for a walk around the village, and you'll never guess what. I was just passing the little crockery shop next to the church hall, and they had a bowl in the window almost exactly like yours.
Yeah?
Yeah, not the same, but irritatingly similar.
Really?
Yeah, it sort of set me to wondering where your bowl came from.
Oh, I can't remember, love.
Try, Dad, please.
That's £4 exactly. Thank you.
It's obviously quite a rare sort of a bowl. I imagine someone could traipse around shops all day and not find anything like it anywhere.
But that bowl for 30-odd years. I remember where it came from. It's like that with the things you love. They sort of become part of you, like they've been with you forever.
Yes, but nothing lasts forever.
I suppose. But if you look after the things that matter, if you cherish them and take good care of them, there's no reason they shouldn't last a lifetime.
No, no reason.
Hey, oh, hello, Steve. The usual.
Dead woman.
Busy tonight?
Andy, you know my dad better than anyone. I have to ask you a really important question.
Fire away.
I was wondering how he might react if one of his favourite things got accidentally broken.
You've broken one of his things?
No.
You've broken his mug, is that it?
I did not break his mug.
Oh, no, don't tell me you broke his pipe, not his pipe.
I broke his bowl.
You broke his bowl?
Right, yes, keep your voice down, it was an accident.
Oh, he's had that bowl for years.
I know.
He eats his Rice Krispies out of that bowl every morning.
I know.
It's like a religious ritual. You know, he says they only taste right in that bowl.
Yes, but it's only a bowl, isn't it? It's only a receptacle. There are other bowls.
No, that was the bowl. Once that bowl has gone, there are no other bowls.
You're kidding me.
There's something like you have to understand about men, Nicola. We are creatures of habit. We build little worlds around ourselves from ritual and routine. We eat certain set foods in certain set ways at certain set times. We are a set menu.
But you can still be spontaneous.
We don't do spontaneity. We do habit. I mean, look at me. Same pub, same stool, same glass, same beer.
And what happens if you break the habit?
Ooh, we wither. We pine. We fall into a spiral of despair.
It's a bowl.
It's his raison d'etre.
You could be wrong.
No.
But you could be.
But I'm not.
I'm a dead woman. Oh, we were just starting to get on well, and then I go and wreck the whole thing.
Where's Ball now?
In his bag. We'll have a look. Maybe we could stick it back together. You never know. A bit of patience and a lot of super glue.
Hey, sorry, Nicola. Old King's horses and old King's men.
I spent all morning trying to find a replacement, but no one stocks anything like it.
It was probably last of its kind in existence.
You're not helping.
It is now an extinct bowl.
Andy, what am I going to do?
Personally, I find tricky situations like this best handled with lies, deceit and trickery.
What, you mean pretend I didn't do it? Let him think his bowl just vanished?
I'd say there's no alternative.
No alternative to what?
Oui.
Nothing.
What's in the bag?
My shopping.
Nothing. Well, take it off the bar. Oh, hey, brace yourself, Al Cupop. Your shopping is bust.
Aye, I know. Well, you've heard of broken biscuits. I've bought some broken crockery.
You daft Jessie. Let me see.
No, no.
Rhea, what are you going to do with all these bits?
Well, reassemble it. It's like a 3D jigsaw. Hey, very challenging. Maybe you or Stan would light on for his birthday.
No, I don't encourage him to celebrate birthdays. It gives him hope. You know, all these pieces, they look sort of familiar.
No,
am
I the only person working tonight? Yeah, what's that?
I knew it. You clumsy wee streak of bacon. I told you to be careful with that bowl.
Butt out, Mrs. D.
Jack, are you all right?
My bowl?
You see what you've done now. He's gone into catatonic shock. He's stiff as a board. If I were you, I'd leave the country before he comes to.
My bowl?
Dad, it's not what you think.
My bowl?
Well, actually, it is what you think. But look, it's not as bad as you think. I mean, perhaps you could look at this as an opportunity to start afresh. A new bowl. A new lease of life.
Jack, give me the nod and I'll have her on the first train back to London.
What happened? How did my bowl get like this?
I'm sorry, Dad.
I don't believe it. Nicola, you broke my bowl.
Well, I sort of...
I broke it.
You what?
Andy.
I'm sorry, Jack. It were me. I broke your bowl.
You broke my bowl.
I knocked it off draining board, like, after we'd been fishing. It were an accident. I knew you'd be upset, like, so I were going to try and see if I could fix it. I know it looks like a bag of dust and bits, but... I'm sorry, Jack. I know how much that bowl meant to you.
Dad, say something.
Jack, I want you to know that I'm absolutely gutted about this. I'll do anything I possibly can to make it up to you.
Dad?
Andy?
Yes, Jack?
get out of my pub.
Please, Jack. Not that.
No, Dad, not Andy.
You're bad.
No, Jack. Hey, well, mate, you can't bar me. Where'll I go?
You took away something I love.
I know, but...
You are bad. For life. I don't want to see your face in here ever again. You have abused my trust. You have betrayed our friendship. You have broken my bowl.
Dad!
Finish your pint and go.
I'm sorry, Jack. Sorry it had to end this way.
I'm in the bath. Won't be long.
It's okay. We've got to talk.
I'm in the bath!
That's okay. It doesn't bother me.
It bothers me.
Look, I'm sorry, but I have to say something. I think you're going totally overboard on this bowl thing.
This is between me and Andy, and I don't want to discuss it in the bath.
But he's your best friend.
He broke my bowl.
I know. And I know how important that bowl was to you.
Exactly. You understand. You'd never be so clumsy and thoughtless and insensitive. I thought I knew that man, but I was wrong. Now, if you'll excuse me, my bubbles are dissolving.
But it was an accident.
So he says. You don't know that.
No, but I believe...
Look, I appreciate your concern, love. You're a good daughter and a good friend to Andy. But he doesn't deserve your support. The damage has been done. The man is barred.
Oh, I hate to see you like this, Dad.
I'm not that chuffed about it myself.
But you're throwing away years of friendship. You enjoy spending time with Andy. You enjoyed your fishing trip this morning.
This gives me more time to spend with you.
Oh, really?
Absolutely. I don't need Andy to go fishing. I could go fishing with you.
Well, yeah, I'd like that.
It's a date, then. Now, please, leave me to rinse.
Oh, I'm glad you've had this little chat, Dad.
Me too. Now get out of the bathroom.
Yeah, okay. Sure. Andy?
Oh, come in.
I'm really sorry about what happened. I feel terrible.
It's okay.
Oh, it was all my fault.
Technically, yes.
So why did you say you broke the bowl?
I know how important it is for you to get on with your dad. I didn't want a silly thing like a little bit of broken china to get in the way.
Oh, Andy, I'm touched. That's about the nicest thing anybody's ever done for me.
Of course, I didn't expect him to bar me.
No, of course not. But on the bright side, your plan did work. Me and Dad are getting on really well.
Oh, good. Oh. Sorry, Nicola. Do you want a can of lager?
No, thanks. Look, Andy, I feel like I should own up to what happened. Tell Dad the truth.
What good will that do?
Well, it would get you back in the old dog for a start.
I suppose, but it would also ruin your relationship with your dad.
Yeah, but the thing is, I feel so guilty.
That's only because it's your fault.
You've got to let me try and fix this rift between you and Dad. Maybe I can persuade him to lift the ban.
Oh, Jack's never lifted a ban. It's okay. The old dog's not the only pub in village.
No, but it's your favourite pub.
Yeah, there are other pubs. I mean, it's a shame. I've been drinking there for 16 years. You know, I just got that stool really comfy.
Mm.
It takes at least 10 years of regular wear to get a bar stool just right. And Jack does serve the best pint and...
Well, there. It's all right.
Can be it. It's all right, but it doesn't taste the same as a pint of best in the old dog.
No. Oh, come here.
I miss that pub. I miss me stool. I love that pub. The beer. The smell. The sounds. The beer. Just say beer twice.
Look, this is silly. Let me talk to him.
Hold me a bit longer.
Okay. Does that feel better?
It feels better when you hug me.
I'm here for you, Andy.
I can smell the pub on you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I like it. It's probably as close to the pub as I'll ever get. Do you mind if I sniff you?
No. You sniff away.
You talked to him?
I talked to him.
How did it go?
Not very well.
I've discovered something.
Oh, yes?
You can't grind a can of lager. They're all too small.
Andy, you have to pull yourself together. I haven't given up. I will get the two of you back together. I promise.
Thank you. You're a good friend.
You know, Dad said the sweetest thing.
Yeah?
Yeah, he said I was his best friend.
That's nice.
But the priority is to get the two of you back together, and I'm on the case. We've both known Dad for years. If we put our minds to it, I'm sure we can work out a way to persuade him to lift the ban.
Nicola?
Yes, Andy?
Can I sniff you again?
All right, but be quick. It's not the same without him, is it?
I wish you'd stop standing up for him. He doesn't deserve it.
You're wasting your time. Jack never backs down on a ban.
Oh, look at his stool, standing there all alone.
I should probably throw it out. He's squashed all the stuffing out of it.
Dad, be honest with me. You miss him, don't you?
Dear Bill, you're casting pearls before swine. No offence, Jack.
Dad?
I've made my decision.
You want him back, don't you?
It's not as easy as that.
Yes, it is. You're the landlord.
Exactly. I have a responsibility to my regulars. Can't back down now, or no one will ever respect my part again.
Why, what are you, Superman?
A landlord has to have the respect of his punters. In this pub, my word is law. I am the lawgiver. Once I have made a proclamation, that's it. May as well be cast in stone.
Not stone, Dad. Flesh and blood. Afternoon, Andy.
Nicola. Hello, Jack.
I don't believe it. He dares to defy the ban.
I take it you organised this.
Before you say anything, Andy is here because I invited him. He's my guest.
If I bar someone, you can't unbar them.
Just talk to him. 2 minutes is all I ask. I know you're a proud man, but it is a sign of strength to listen to an honest appeal.
2 minutes.
Thank you.
Don't do it, Jack. Don't back down, no matter how much it hurts. You've got your reputation to think of. These people respect you.
Can you do something for me, Mrs. Drummond?
Anything you like, Jack.
Shut up.
Right, good. Keep that hard attitude.
Okay, you ready?
I've been rehearsing what I'm going to say all day. I think I've got some pretty, persuasive arguments.
Good. Go and do it.
Jack?
Andy?
I'm back.
I see.
16 years.
I reckon.
Sorry, mate.
Yeah.
Like I said.
I heard.
So?
Pint of best.
Love one, mate.
Oh.
All right, everyone, Andy's back. Show's over. Get back to your drinks.
Oh, thank goodness for that.
Well, I couldn't keep up with the ebb and flow of intellectual banter.
Hey, thanks, Nicola.
My pleasure. It wasn't quite the outpouring of feelings I was expecting, but I think everything's worked out for the best.
Men know how they feel. They don't have to make a song and dance about it.
Yeah, well, the main thing is you've buried the hatchet. It doesn't matter that you can't put your feelings into words.
Hey, why embarrass a friend with florid language when a short, sharp, manly exchange will do?
You're right there, mate.
Thanks, mate.
I mean, I could say that you mean more to me than a brother. That we're not bonded by blood, but we're bonded by choice. I could say that if I was shipwrecked on a desert island, I would choose you for my companion. Or that if I had the last pint of beer on the planet, I would give it to you. But I don't need to.
It's not required.
Touchy-feely enough for you?
Yeah.
Good. We've run out of cheesy watches. I'll get another box out of the pack.
Thanks again, Nicola. It's great to be back.
You jammy sod.
Excuse me?
Did you hear what he just said?
I did. And I don't mind admitting, I was moved.
Oh, this is so unfair. 5 minutes ago, you were in the doghouse and I was his best friend.
What can I say? It takes a tragedy, like a broken bowl, to show you who your real friends are.
But I broke the bowl, not you. You should want to live on a desert island with me. Instead, you jump in and take all the credit.
Oh, sorry, I was only trying to help.
You were trying to steal the glory.
You could have said something.
I couldn't get a word in edgeways, you were so keen to jump in and confess.
You could still tell him the truth.
But he's not going to believe me now, is he? I'm only his daughter. But I wonder what he'd say if he knew his best friend had lied to him.
One box of cheesy watches.
Jack, there's something I think I should tell you.
Don't tell me you've broken something else.
No, but I've not exactly been honest with you.
Look, it's okay. The way I look at it, if our friendship can survive this, it can survive anything.
I didn't break your bowl.
I don't understand if you didn't break it.
Are you sure?
Tell him the truth.
She broke it.
It's true, Dad. It was I that broke your bowl.
Oh, wait a minute. Let me get this right. You broke my bowl, but Andy took the blame.
Right. Yeah, or the credit, as it turns out.
I'm sorry, Jack.
Sorry? You've got nothing to be sorry about, but you...
Yes, Dad?
I'm disappointed in you. You let him take the blame for your clumsiness.
Ah, no.
I brought you up to take responsibility for your actions.
Yeah, but...
Letting Andy take the blame is the act of a coward and a liar.
Wait a minute. When you thought he did it, you wanted to give him your last pint.
You watched an innocent man take the punishment for your crime.
Yes, but don't you want to spend eternity on a desert island with me?
Right now, I don't even want to be in the same room with you.
Dad!
I think the best thing for you is to go to your room, young lady.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dad. I didn't mean it.
Go on. Go to your room.
But it's not fair.
You didn't have to be so hard on her.
You're probably right. Another pint?
Go on, then. Jack, I'm intrigued here. You have just sent a 26-year-old woman to her room.
Mm.
And she went. Is that like a power you have forever?
No, but if you catch the tone of voice just right, it still works.
So you think she'll be back?
I'll give her 5 seconds.
Right.
That is not fair. I may have broken your bowl, but I'm a university-educated, mature woman, and that does not give you the right to send me to my room.
Look, let's put a lid on this, all right? A bowl got broken, a man got barred, a woman got sent to a room. Let's not get things out of perspective.
You're telling us about perspective. You're the one whose precious bowl caused all this.
Indeed. And I certainly hope you'll both be a bit more careful with my bowl in future. After all, I've only got 5 more left.
What?
What did you say?
Actually, I think the set were given to us as wedding presents. There were 8 originally, but me and Mrs. D have both broken one, so with the one you broke, I'm down to my last 5.
Excuse me a minute.
Where are you going?
To break the other 4.